Robert Johnson played music. He wasn't particularly good until, that is, he heard the blues music of Son House. That was 1930 in Mississippi. In a short time, Robert Johnson became a very good blues guitarist, and he played until he died in Greenwood, Mississippi in 1938. The story goes that Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil at the crossroads. The myth has grown over the years since his death. Writer Mitch Myers has this update of the legend with a ghostly twist.
It all started when I was working at my computer while listening to Robert Johnson, the complete recording. By the time I'd finally gotten into a decent work groove, the two CD set had finished playing, and I wrote in silence for about 20 minutes. Suddenly, Johnson's blues-ridden wail started coming out of my stereo speakers again. That's funny, I thought. The disc player isn't on auto-repeat, and there aren't any bonus cuts on this CD. When I looked at the digital display, my disc machine read track 30. I checked the notes in the CD box, but only 21 tracks were listed on the second disc. The song ended, so I programmed the machine to play track 30 again. No such luck. The song had vanished. Feeling confused, I began calling people who I thought might own the box set. I finally found a buddy who had the same collection. "Have you listened to it all the way through?" I asked. "Sure," he said. "I've listened to it." "Come on, Jim. You're no blues fanatic. Are you sure you've listened to both discs all the way through to the very end?" "Well, now that you mention it, I only remember playing the song Crossroads to see how it compared with the live version by Eric Clapton and Cream." "Well, don't put it on now. Wait for me to get over to your place. I'll be there in 20 minutes." I made it over to Jim's, and we agreed to play the second disc in its entirety rather than searching for the phantom track. As a backup, I suggested we use his cassette recorder to capture the song on tape. We sat through all of disc 2, and sure enough, the CD continued playing after track 21. Eventually, the same ghostly song I had heard at my house filled the air. It was definitely Robert Johnson, but neither of us recognized the song. As I feared, the tune ended and we couldn't get the machine to play track 30 again. When the cassette we made played back blank, Jim flipped out. "I don't know, man. This whole thing about Robert Johnson having a hellhound on his trail and selling his soul to the devil at the crossroads? It's too weird. Think about it. History says that Johnson only recorded 29 compositions in his entire life. The rest of the existing tracks here are just alternate versions of those same damn songs. 29 songs. Track 30? Come on. And this mystery tune disappears on two different stereos and can't be recorded? It's too weird." We fiddled with the stereo a while longer, but the song was gone. "Leave it alone, man," he called after me as I walked to my car. "It's just too weird." I began searching for sealed copies of the Robert Johnson collection. I also began correspondence with Columbia Records to explain this bizarre phenomenon. The people at Columbia seemed helpful, but they obviously thought I was crazy. I also got the impression that one guy was hiding something from me. When I asked about the hypothetical track 30, he became evasive and said he'd call me back. Although I left numerous messages in the weeks that followed, I never heard from him or anyone else at Columbia again. In the weeks that followed, I split my time between visiting record stores and calling blues experts on the telephone. Once, I even reached an old Johnson crony, the 85-year-old David Honeyboy Edwards, right here in Chicago. He was nice enough at first, but when I asked about a secret recording by Robert Johnson, he hung up the phone. Then last night, after hours of searching the web, I turned off my computer in a state of exhaustion. It was midnight, and I was totally discouraged. "Damn," I said out loud. "I'd do anything for another listen to that song." All of a sudden, my doorbell rang. As I went to answer the door, the distinct smell of sulfur filled the air, and I realized that I had made a huge mistake.
Mitch Myers is a psychologist and a storyteller. He lives in Chicago.